junior. Okay, if you're here for junior church, you may leave. Actually, I thought about it while I was sitting down, and I thought everybody had already left. So. All right, folks, thank you for your patience.
Thank you, Dan.
I love all of you.
Appreciate it, Ben.
Yes, sir.
Psalm 1 this morning. Psalm 1. Psalm 1, we'll read verses 1 through 6. Psalm 1. The Bible says, "Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. He shall be like a tree planted beside the rivers of water, which bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. The ungodly are not so, but are like the chaff which the wind driveth away. Therefore the ungodly shall not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. For the Lord knoweth the way of the righteous, but the way of the ungodly shall perish." Father, thank you for the word of God this morning, and I pray that you would speak to each one of our hearts this morning, that you'd meet the needs. Thank you that you care and that you love us. And I just ask now that you'd make the preacher and the congregation one. We'd hear from you in Christ's name. Amen. As we come to Psalm, the first Psalm of the book of Psalms here, the Lord describes the life of individuals that choose Him, that seek Him and honor Him. He chooses the word blessed. Look at the first word there. It says, "Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners." You know. And he uses that word blessed. But he also describes the life of individuals who choose not to seek Him, not to honor Him, and just kind of forget about Him. And the Lord uses the word ungodly. Now, I want to preach this morning on the subject of three things in a blessed life. Three things that you'll have, three characteristics of a blessed life. Now, let God work in your life and in your heart about this matter and through your conscience. That's how He works. That's what He does, and He does it through the Bible, not through what man says, not through what some guy decides he's gonna teach or say, but it's God's word. And so, three things that make a blessed life, and the first thing that you'll see in the first one here, look, it says, "Blessed is the man who walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful." Now, all those things are bad, all three of those things. It says, blessed is the guy that didn't get involved with that. Right? Let's not, you know, maybe we shouldn't get involved in that. It's like having a little two-year-old, you're sending him off to school, and you say, "Hey, bud, now listen, you see those guys back in the back, they're smoking the cigarettes and chewing the back and the whole nine yards and, you know, and blowing the school up, whatever they're doing? Don't go with them, right? Don't do that. Come on, junior, this way." And listen, that's what God wants to do for each one of us. He wants to say, "Listen, son, I want you to go this way. Because there's blessing with my way, but the way of the world..." No. The way of the world is what is that? The Bible calls it the Broadway, doesn't it? Yeah. That's why Broadway is what it is. Broadway. All right? There ain't nothing good at Broadway, people. All right? Just how it is, you know? And again, it's the Broadway versus the narrow way. The Bible says the gate is straight. Straight simply means narrow. No king in the King's English. All right? This means narrow. But the Broadway is this way. It's the way everybody, I say everybody, no, many go. So there's a difference. And blessed is the man that doesn't go that way. In Matthew chapter 7, verses 24 through 27, Jesus taught about two foundations, didn't he? He talked about a wise man that built his house on the what? The rock. Well, everybody knows, you know, you're going to build a house, you need a foundation. It needs to stand, okay? And then he talks about the foolish man that built his house on the sand. The storms came and a river came up. Everything took place right. And boy, you know, the foolish man's house got just blew apart. And I'll tell you, the wise man's house, well, it stood. All right? And it's like that in life. It's like that as individuals. Okay? And I'll say this. A life with Jesus Christ, knowing Him, it's personal. It's not something, "Oh, well, I trust the Lord, so that automatically means that that other people do, you know, in my family, or I'm going to make them do this." No, there's no making anything, people. It's a personal choice. Jesus said, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. And verse 12 goes on to say about, but as many as received him. Now, do you notice that? There's a choice involved there. But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him. Do you see that? There's a choice there. It's personal. That whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. And so there's a choice. There's a choice, and when you receive Christ, what are you receiving? You're receiving salvation through his name. You're receiving him, and it's as simple as what you're doing is entering into a relationship with Christ. That's what salvation is. Salvation is not something, well, salvation's heaven. Well, no, well, salvation's in the church. We hear that a lot, right? No, salvation's not heaven. It's not in the church. Salvation is a person, and his name is Christ. That is salvation. It's in him and him alone. It's a personal relationship with him. Somebody said, well, I don't believe you, Bucky, because you're a religious fellow. No, I'm not religious. I have a relationship with Christ. Religion's, you know what a religion is? Religion is do this, 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 and this, and everything's going to be fine. There are religions, lots of them out there, and they're churches. Okay? Even Baptist churches. They believe what we do this, this, and this, and then we merit salvation. No, we don't. Salvation comes through Jesus Christ, and the only merits that it is, ladies and gentlemen, is the cross. It's the cross, it's the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. He paid the way. So if our religion does it, if our works do it, then he died for nothing. Folks, he didn't die for nothing. He died to give you life. And he chose to. Salvation, it's free to us, but it costs him everything. And so to say that, well, you know, I go to church every Sunday. Well, I read my Bible every day. I've been baptized. I've got this. I've done this, and I've done this, and I've done this. Listen, that doesn't cut it. That doesn't get anybody salvation. That doesn't get a person to heaven. Folks, the only thing that does is receiving Jesus Christ, being in partnership with him. Listen, the Bible compares relationship with Christ to marriage, people. Marriage. Listen, Jennifer and I are married. All right? We're partners, hand in hand through life. All right? And we're glad about it. I want to tell you something. A relationship with Jesus Christ, I have that. He's first, though. Not her. He is. And I had him before I met her anyway. I got saved at age 22, trusted Christ, changed my life. Boy, was I going the wrong way, people. It's a mess. It's a mess. Trusted Jesus Christ and he changed my life. And why? It's partnership. I chose to follow him. Okay? Do I ever get off the path? Yeah, that's my problem. I do. I need to ask him, Lord, please, I shouldn't have done that. Forgive me. Please forgive me. I've done something wrong to somebody. The Lord wants me to go make it right. I'm saying that's, you know, and sometimes that, you know, what Dan said, we all make mistakes. It's called sin. Not that mistakes on the piano is that. I'm not saying that. I'm just saying, but that's what, you know, when we've sinned, we confess it to the Lord. We confess it to whoever we messed up, and we make it right, right? But it says, blessed is the man that walked not in that counsel of the ungodly, and stand in the way of sinners. We're to separate from those kind of things. Because why? Because we want to build our house on the rock, right? On the rock. Now the question is, sir, ma'am, young person today, are you building your house on the rock or are you building it on the sand? I think of world experts today, how they're influencing families in the broad way. I think of, you know, if you're unhappy in your marriage, this is the world's counsel. Listen, if you're unhappy in your marriage, just get a divorce. Okay? You know, the world's counsel is, we're not making enough income. Send the young mothers to work, put the kids into daycare, and little kids, and let somebody else take care of them. And they get the daycare's worldview, the public school system's worldview, and everybody else's worldview. But they don't get this worldview from the mama, right? No, that's a ploy, people. That's on the broad way. That's what it is. Okay? Age 22, you'd have had a hard time telling me that. As you read this book and you let it conform you and into what God wants for his people. Listen, God created people. And he gave a certain way to live. And it's because he loves us. Does he force anybody? Mm-mm. No, it's by choice. So it's yours, you know. The world teaches that modern day psychology and psychiatry is superior to Bible doctrine and Christian teaching. There's ways to deal with your problems. And many times it goes like this with a psychiatrist or somebody like that or a psychologist. Well, I'm having problems in this. And that psychologist will take that and he'll date that back to something in your childhood and place blame on something that happened in your childhood or in your past. And well, that's the problem you're having here. And it'll, and put some phobia with it. Say, this is a problem. You and the blame's on this, and this person. Never you. Where the Bible, do you know what the Bible does? The Bible says, hey, listen. Yep, there were some things that happened back to you that were bad. There's some things that were done wrong and that's wrong. But here's the thing, the Bible says, but you gotta deal with your heart right here. And you can't look back, you gotta look forward and say, listen, that was wrong what happened to me, and it wasn't right. May God give me the grace to go forward that I don't make the same mistakes, that I don't have that same sin, that sin of the fathers, as the Bible says, isn't passed from the children, or from the fathers to the children. Down to the generations. We got generational sins, people. The only thing that's going to stop is that book. That's it. And again, what it does, it allows us to say, from here on out, I'm going to confess my person. What's my sin in it? What's my sin in this or that? You know, not, and right here and now. And so that's the difference. Is the world teaches that it's somebody else's fault. The Bible teaches, no, why don't you let me lead you? Let Christ lead you through life now. That's the difference, okay? Now, the world teaches that a person can choose whether they want to be male or female. Did you know that? Yeah, that's what's going on. They're teaching that a person, and they say we don't trust the science. Really? Right. Global warming, right? They don't call it that anymore. What do they call it? Climate change. Well, you don't trust the science. You don't even know if you're going to... You think your kid can choose whether they can be male or female. No, that's not true. Listen, that's from hell. It really is. You see, because God's given us a way to live. And here it is. And it's just like the kid getting on a school bus. God's saying, no. And he's so caring. He's still like, no, Junior, no. Go this way. Not the counsel of the ungodly. Don't stand in the way of those sinners. Don't sit in the seat of the scornful. All right? See, before I trusted the Lord, I was over here in this camp. Well, I just didn't know any different. And I wouldn't have said that I was in that. I wouldn't even said it. I wouldn't have had an edge about it or anything. It's like, yeah, well, I don't care, whatever. But God changed my life. He saved me. He says, no, over here. And I'll show you the difference. Listen, I'm just going to say this. Folks, what you need to know is that if you're going to live a Christian life and you're going to honor the Lord and you're going to have some stability in your mind and your heart and have a solid foundation, you're going to have a little separation in your life. Are you hearing what I'm saying? It's just a fact. It's just a fact. You know, and that goes a long way to the next generation. Oh, it does. Long way. You know, but they have to make a choice, people. Right? Well, just because I grew up in a Christian, this person grew up in a Christian home, why are they doing that? Because they have a choice. And God, in His grace and in His love and in His mercy, allows the choice. Think of it. It's called individual soul liberty. It's a Bible principle. It's choice. You see. And it's simply up to you. Separation. Of course, we could talk about the entertainment industry, right? Pushes these ideas and everything. And I know some young people, pastor's daughter in particular, you know, from years past, you know, got involved with demonism and movies that involve demonism and those different things. And the poor child has a hard time talking to people, you know, and is kind of disturbed and not sure what's going on. And, you know, but again, 16 years old. Why is she like that? Why is she choosing this path? Why is she sneaking out at night? Why is she doing these things? Well, you know, Ephesians 5:11 says, and have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them. The word reprove means to tell their faults. This is what's wrong with this. This is what's wrong with Harry Potter, right? This is what's wrong with Twilight. And I'm probably going to date myself because I don't know what the new stuff is. I don't. But demonism is demonism. And if you think folks in the church don't get in demonism, you're wrong. Wrong. Yep. Especially a lot of children, kids, you know, curious. Why do you think they call it the curious arts? That's why. That's why they call it that, you know. So it's curious, you know. But it's all about choices. Again, walk, stand, sit in destructive ways and the world system. So number two, number one, a solid foundation, okay? A man that builds his house on a rock, there'll be some separation in his life. Now, by the way, those lines, it's possible will be drawn different between different individuals and different families, right? You know, and again, it's about choice. Let God lead you in it, not some man. Got it? Not some. What does the book say? Right? It says, and it goes on to say this. But his delight is in the law of the Lord. Delight means it's a high degree of pleasure or satisfaction of mind, of joy. You know, I met my wife August 2002. All right, we were partnered up together, and this was at Bible college. I trusted the Lord, and God called me to preach his word, and I went to college and flipped my life right upside down. Anyway, I went to college and met my wife in 2002. Would have been my second semester. And we were on door-to-door church visitation with a church there. And as we walked, we shared what our testimonies and how God saved us. And it was evident that we had mutual interest in the Lord. And after that, we kind of gravitated toward each other at these different functions the school would have, whether it was a meal or an assembly or some sport event or something we were doing. And we knew we enjoyed each other's company. Now, here's a question. Now, listen carefully. Do you think that I thought about Jennifer a lot? Yes. Yes, I did. I loved the schooling. I loved the preaching and whatever they threw at me. Before I trusted the Lord, I didn't. Saying. God changes your heart, you know, and I love that. But yes, I thought a lot about her. All right. Do you think that I wanted to know what she was thinking? Isn't that interesting in a relationship? But she wasn't just starting out, right? I wonder what she's thinking. Well, yeah, I was, right? Did I want to get to know her more? Absolutely, yeah. Yeah. Why did I want to take the time to do that? Why? Well, because I delighted in her. I delighted in her person. Listen, Jesus Christ is a person. He's a person. And we're to delight in him. Should I care what he thinks about something? Yeah. Should I want to get to know him more? Yeah. Should I care what he delights in? Yeah. You know, it matters what your spouse delights in, right? It matters how you treat them, how you think about things. Yeah. Well, Jesus Christ is a person, and he's a wonderful person at that. And the Bible calls him, in Song of Solomon, there and also in the hymn book, it says he's the fairest of 10,000 to my soul. We're to delight in him. And dear friend, that'll affect your life. That'll affect your life at work. That'll affect how you treat your coworkers. How you treat your spouse, your kids. You know. A little mixed up here. The law of God, the word of God reveals his person, his character, his love, his faithfulness. And it says, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. I was thinking, there's some things in the Christian life that one person will do it this way, one person will do it another way, and people say, oh, well, they shouldn't do that. We need to be led of the Lord, not of, and we can get counsel, that's fine. We can get counsel and compare it to the book, though, right? Compare it to the book. What's God speaking to me about personally? And he'll do it with his word in a quiet place, And not everybody's life's going to be cookie cutter, look the same. Just how it is, right? Occasionally I'll have something on my mind that keeps me up at night. You ever have that? Something you can't quit thinking about, it's a problem. It's a worry to you. You're full of care about it. And, if you have a relationship with the Lord, it is just, and it is, and it's second nature to talk to him about it. It's called prayer. Lord, I'm struggling with this guy at work. He really acts like a jerk. You say, well, you can't say that's Lord. Yeah, you can. Because the Bible, that's what I'm saying, people, is personal relationship with him. That's what you're doing. It's also holy, and all this with the candles and all that. No. God is practical.
Amen.
He's practical. And he cares. And he says, hey, listen, pour your heart out before me. Lord, this guy's acting like a jerk, and I don't know how to handle it, and I just want to punch him in the face. And you know that's wrong. So at the same time, you're saying it's the Lord, and you're like, no, but I know that's wrong. Right? How do you know? Well, because we have a book. We know he's a person. We know what he delights in, what he doesn't. It says in Jeremiah chapter 9, he delights in loving kindness, judgment, and righteousness. For in these things I delight, saith the Lord. Right there, he said it. Right? Does he delight in tyranny and government takeovers? No way. No, he delights in freedom. You say, how do you know? I know what the book says. Does he delight in Tom Wolfe mandating everything? No. He doesn't. Amen. It's called individual soul liberty, and it's taught in that book right there. Does he delight in lying and stealing and all these things? No. Mm-mm. Nope. Again, how do we know? Because of what he says. Let him shape you. Let him mold you. Occasionally, like I said, I have something on my mind. And naturally, you want to talk to the Lord about it. You want to allow him to bring scriptures to your mind to meditate or think about him as it about what it is that you're dealing with, right? All the while delighting in his person. Desiring his thoughts about it. What is your thoughts about that? How do I handle that? I just recently, township supervisor stuff. I need God. You know what I'm saying? I don't know about that budget issue and this personnel. All this. You're sitting there going, what? No, listen, every one of us, men, ladies, we need to put the things that we have to deal with before the Lord if we're going to make wise and good decisions. We must. And fair, right? Fair decisions, right decisions, kind decisions. Well, how are we going to handle this? And it's hard. You men, the head of your homes, with families, and you ladies dealing with children and all those things, there's ways in which we really need the Lord's wisdom. I'll first to tell you, I don't know how to handle all of it. We should be taking three, and again, we ought to know what the book says. That's how God talks to us. Get 3x5 cards. Haven't done it for a long time. I just confess to you, I haven't done it. I need to do it. Get some 3x5 cards, write some verses on, and some things that and memorize it, internalize it. And there's some of you sitting here, you can quote some things. You probably memorized it 10 years ago, but you still can quote it just like that. Well, you know what? Memorize some more. So, anyway, yeah. It's important to have those scriptures or in hymns or whatever memorized. And we should all be, you know, and working that kind of. We our lives need to be filled with His Word. So we respond right, okay? So we think right. So we have goodwill toward others. You know, even those that maybe don't have goodwill toward us, that we have goodwill toward them, in spite of what, whatever, right? You know, I get up pretty early in the morning, and I got one boy that he beats me up pretty quick sometimes, though. He's right there. He's flipping all the lights on in the house, you know. And but anyway, I get up pretty early, and one morning I made a pot of coffee, and which I do about every morning. I poured it in my cup, and so I was standing there in my kitchen, right, with this cup of coffee. I mean, I'm just standing in the kitchen with this cup of coffee thinking, man, it's going to be good. Wham! The handle falls off, and the thing smashes on the floor. I mean, in 1,000 pieces, right? I'm holding the handle. And I thought, oh man, I grabbed this dish towel, lugged it over there. And I got glass everywhere, ceramic, and you know that dish towel, we got those hardwood floors, right? And that dish towel, that's a piece of junk one. It just pushed that coffee all over the floor. You know what I'm saying? Wouldn't soak it up. What I do? Rena, I grab the paper towels. Wham! Grab the paper towels. I sop that. Those paper towels, whoosh, suck that thing right in. Just like a sponge. I mean, I watch it now. It was saturated. That's how we're supposed to be with the Word of God. We're supposed to be saturated. We're supposed to have, we're supposed to know, we're supposed to be drawn from this book of Proverbs and the book of Psalms. And why? Why? Because the Word of God reveals Jesus Christ. From Genesis to Revelation, not just the New Testament, the Old and New. And there's some things in there that you over the years you learn, and you're like, well, why does it say this in the Old Testament? There's reasons. There's dispensational reasons, and there's things that are, but I want to tell you, when you meet that thing together and you finally get that framework, you're saying, yeah, that's God. I see it now. That's who He is. And I love Him. And I need Him. And I've seen Him work in my life. I've seen Him answer prayer. I've seen Him come to my rescue, so to speak, in situations and circumstances. I'm sitting there going, yeah, I got one explanation why it turned out like this is because God's my God. Because I'd have made a total and complete wreck of it. Done it plenty of times. Oh, still do. Still do. You say, preacher, well, if you have God, why are you making such a wreck of it? Because I just forget Him. I go off my own tangent. Get angry. Unkind word to somebody. So I'm saying something foolish or plain doing what I want to do instead of being mindful of Him, right? And it says, but His delight is in the law of the Lord. That's what this is. Psalm 43:4, the psalmist calls the Lord his exceeding joy. It exceeds everything else. He's my joy. He's my comfort. He's my stay. He's my high tower. He's my rock. He's my salvation. See, it's a love relationship with Him. Listen, people. The world without Him, they're in trouble. They're in trouble. And we're in trouble when we forget Him, when we don't continue to seek Him. I'll tell you, it's amazing. And I go out a church door somewhere. Remember this old boy, this Cain, he lost his wife and 25 things happened to the guy, and he's got hoses sticking out of him, I say, sir, I said, I hope you have a good day, you know. And the old boy would look at me and say, you know, preacher, I don't know how people do it without the Lord. There he is in his 90s, right? Standing back out of a whole life, looking back, saying, boy, the Lord's so good. And He is. There's a peace in that man's heart that will not go away. The world can't give you that. There's only one person that can give it to you, and it's Christ my Savior. If you know Him today, He's your Savior. He's the one. He's the only one. Is He your exceeding joy this morning? A person that has the Lord as their delight, and their exceeding joy has a bedrock. You listen very carefully. Has a bedrock foundation on which to build a life. Hmm? Choice is yours. Listen, I know, you take the Islamic religion. You take Jehovah's Witnesses. You take Mormon. You take any of those things. Listen. People have a choice. There's only one that's real. And it's not even a religion. It's a relationship with Jesus Christ. You say it's Christianity. No, everybody has 25 definitions of Christianity. They do. No. Well, Christianity is this and Christianity is that. No. No, it's a relationship with the Lord. Well, you need to be baptized. You need to be in the church. You need to be doing this. You need to be doing that. No, it's simply, what do you say? Come. Come unto me, all ye that labor and heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. He said, just come. You come as you are. I came as I was when I was 22 years old, and God changed me. Yep, got a lot of rough edges yet. You see it. You people know me. A lot of rough edges. But at least I'm not what I used to be. Not what I used to be. Choice yours. So, no. I know of a man. I think I just skipped something. So bad here. Yeah. Okay. Number one, have a blessed life, we need separation. Number two, saturation. And number three, what will be in a life that honors the Lord? The third thing will be success. Now, watch. Let me clarify. Okay? It says here, but his delight will be in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. He shall be like a tree. Watch it. A tree planted by the rivers of water, which bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither. And what's, watch it, whatsoever he doeth shall what? Prosper. Now that's success, right? And it doesn't mean you always make $1 million. Some of the poorest people on earth are Christians in that sense of their bank accounts. But they got stuff to eat. He takes care of them. But nonetheless, success. Now, I've been in the tree business probably, well, over 20 years. I've seen some big flourishing trees, but among the biggest trees, folks, that you'll see are the ones down along the Juniata and the Susquehanna River. I mean, big old sycamores, you know, some of them 6 and 7 feet in diameter down there. Big old silver maples, just spread out over a big old vase shape, you know, and out over the water and under them. Their roots are into the river and everything. Big structural branches and, I mean, birds and squirrels, everything living in these things. And, you know, and those things, they go through storms and droughts and floods and well over 100 years old, and there they still stand. People, these things are thriving. You see, that's what this old book's comparing a relationship with the Lord to. As one of those big old trees with those roots out in that water. Listen, a relationship with the Lord, I'm talking about your life today and to get your spiritual roots, so to speak, grounded in Christ. And the promise is what? There'll be fruit. You'll prosper. All right? Whatsoever you do shall prosper. We're talking about success. Joshua 1 verse 8. This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt, talking about the word of God, shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. Success is written only one time in all the book, the Bible, success. And it's in relation to meditation on God's word. Meditation and prayer. Having that relationship with Him. You see, it's not just being able to quote the verses. I hate to say it like this, but any fool can memorize something and recite it. Any fool can do that. But what about internalizing it? What about meditating on it? What about allowing Jesus Christ to be revealed in your mind and your heart and then let it live out in the life? That's what it is. That is what salvation is. That is success. It's knowing the will of God. and doing it. I know of a man that was on crack or cocaine. He's on drugs, all right, in his earlier years. And his life was in shambles, absolute shambles. And by his own testimony, he trusted Christ as Savior. He entered into relationship with Christ, what we're talking about here, all right? And he tells, you know what that guy does? He tells people about it all the time. He can't shut his mouth about it. Let's tell him. And the Lord allowed him to build a multi-million dollar company, all right? Now, listen, that doesn't mean that because you trust the Lord and you do what he wants you to do, you're going to, no, that's just what this guy did, okay? The Lord's will is different for different people, okay? I'm not talking about health and wealth, prosperity, you know, because you do this and then everything's going to work out great for you. No, that's not really how it is. Sometimes things get worse for you in the Christian life. But the key is, watch it. He's your exceeding joy. He gets you through it. He gives you the emotional. Do you ever get cast down and emotionally and just want to depress and you just want to kill yourself? People get that way. The Spirit of God will minister to your heart and your life. That relationship with the Lord Jesus will and allow you to have joy in spite of your life circumstances, people. That's what he is. That's what he does. That's the miracle of it. Yeah, this man went from crack cocaine to this executive, this big company, and it doesn't mean that's what's going to happen to everybody, but it does mean this. It means that God holds your life together and gives you emotional and mental stability through good and bad times. In the book of Daniel, chapter 6 and verse 3, the Bible says this, Daniel was preferred. Here's a man that loved God, had a relationship with him. This Daniel was preferred above the presidents, the princes, because an excellent spirit was in him, and the king thought to set him over the whole realm. Do you know what? There it was, a pagan king, not a Jewish king. Daniel was a Jew. He was hated among the earth. And yet, because of his obedience to the Lord, he submitted to this king. He did what the king wanted, okay? Only up until it didn't honor God anymore. Because remember, this same Daniel was in the lion's den, right? Okay, people? When you're going against tyranny, you may end up in the lion's den. Okay? Just point that out. But Daniel had an excellent spirit in him. They rose him clean to the top. All right? Why? Because the Bible said he had an excellent spirit in him. I dare say, that's the spirit of Jesus Christ. And that's what God wants in you, young person. Sir. Ma'am. He was submissive. He was wise. He was polite. Even if it got him in the lion's den. We said that. His concern was of utmost, was honoring the Lord. And folks, that is success. Proverbs 18, verse 17. I love them that love me. Listen. God said this in Proverbs. I love them that love me, and those that seek me early shall find me. Hey, you can't get any earlier than today. Seek him. Come to him. Psalm 16, verse 11. I love this verse. Thou wilt show me the path of life. In thy presence is fullness of joy. At thy right hand are pleasures forevermore. I love that promise. Thou wilt show me the path of life. That's those that seek him, that want him. He will show you the path of life that he wants you to take. Folks, we need to spend time with him in prayer and meditation of the word. And the Bible says at the end of the part here, and he shall be like a tree that is planted by the rivers of water, which bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. Let's go ahead and bow for prayer. I'll ask a piano player to come. We'll end with a hymn. I'll pray, and then we'll end with a hymn. Lord, thank you so much for the precious word of God. And Lord, would you work in each one of our lives and our hearts? And we desire you, Lord. And please convince and convict of sin, of righteousness, and of judgment. And that simple thing that we need, that relationship. Not a religion, a relationship with you in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, what's 185.